Game's on, yeah, everybody's working for the weekend. Hodgetts, L.A., Labor Day edition. I always want to say Memorial Day on Labor Day. I think everybody confuses two holidays. Labor Day edition, the last Sunday with no football, no NFL football until February 8th. It's amazing. My addiction is going to be fed in 1 week. Thursday night, Thursday night kickoff. Lollapaloo they have with all types of country stars and fireworks and all types of drama. They build up. Who's even playing with it? Green Bay? Green Bay? Denver? I think I should know that. Regardless, I'm all lost. August 31st. Doesn't feel like Labor Day in August 31st. What if it happened to Labor Day and be in September? I guess tomorrow's September 1st, so shit, it is September. Already started. First game of the year last week for my squad. Went out and put a 70-0 bashing over the Nobles of Nogales High School. Ugly, embarrassing. Wasn't even that close of a game. It's one of those games where we only threw the ball four times. It's one of those games where you couldn't stop scoring. It's just one of those things. Every play we ran, we would score. And then they kept trying to throw the ball, and we'd pick it and run it back. Opening kickoff second half, run it back. Awful. Poorly coached squad. Hope you're listening, coaching staff of Nogales Nobles. Of course, they all looked the role, though. They had their visors on and nice Nike coaching pants and their coaches' shirts. It's like 15 of them. And they couldn't even line up on defense. Awful. I felt bad for the kids. I've been on the other side of not quite 70-0, but I've been on the other side of some blowouts. It's a helpless feeling. Anything you do, you just sit. The other team scores. It's the worst. You just want to crawl under a rock. And, of course, high school football fans in the stands aren't the most cordial people. Screaming for your head. The worst. Well, I lost a homecoming game 62-0 when I was the head coach. And then we changed schedules. It's all about who you play, like I've said many times. We changed schedules. The next year for our homecoming game, we won 62-0 versus another team. Amazing. And we weren't even that much better or worse. Just scheduling. What happens? A tough game coming next week, but we'll see. There are no more cupcakes all the way through. That was the easiest game of the year. It was good to get all the seniors in, get everybody involved. Kids who won't play at all. That's another terrible feeling. I feel bad for those kids, too. Kids who, I mean, like tomorrow morning, we got practice at 7:45 on Labor Day. And these kids show up, and they have to know in the back of their head, some of these kids, that they're never going to get on the field. Especially the seniors. They're not even allowed to play JV, which is a stupid friggin' rule. They should let seniors play JV. If they're bad enough to play JV, they should let them play JV. Shit, there are kids, there are seniors who go out there, practice all year round, never miss practices. All fucking year. It's not like it's just a few months. And they never step on the field. Maybe in a blow. We got everybody in this game. So we're not going to go the whole year this year without. But there are kids out there, plenty of them. Never step on the field. Amazing. I wasn't one of those guys. I always played, of course. We got to respect those kids, though, I'm telling you. Because it's easy to quit. It would be simple to quit. But they stick through. Oh, doing this show without drinking. Last night, my girlfriend's out of town, so I decided to get loaded and take Uber. Uber app? Am I saying that right? Uber? Yeah. All around town. What a creepy fucking thing Uber is. These people just show up. I was like, screw it. I'm doing it. Hit the app. Boom. Fucking guy was in my driveway in like 15 seconds. Weird guy. He said he had $1,800 a month in child support. So he does Uber as a side job. Interesting thing, though. If you never use it, you just hit the app. The GPS on your phone tells them where you're at. And they come get you. They don't even ask. I tipped the guy, and the guy was shocked. He'd never been tipped. He said, no one tips him. Oh, fuck. I think I over-tip. I think I'm guilty of that. I don't know why. I think you go to a bar, I tip a dollar every time. For what? Opening a fucking beer bottle. Every time. You think so?
Yeah, he might have just said that He never gets tipped just so.
He tried to give it back to me. Yeah, he tried to hand it back to me. I wouldn't let him.
Maybe he is a nice guy.
I guess. Oh, yeah. He had gum. He had all these different packs of gum for his clients. I didn't even know the process, but it's interesting. Don't want to get a DUI. Shit, that's the last thing I want to get is a DUI. Not saying I'm not a candidate, knock on wood. But when I can, and I'm going to do it more often now with this Uber thing, even though the fucking guy who was supposed to pick me up left me stranded for about 30 minutes, about 2:30 in the morning, wandering around the streets of fucking Chino. I digress. This is a football show, for fuck's sake. Although, one last thing. Made in America tour going on downtown L.A. today. Went down there to try to see if I could hear anything in the middle of the city. What a bunch of fucking degenerates down there. Of course, downtown L.A. is always like that. But Jesus Christ, the freaks came out for this one. Guys trying to aggressively scalp you tickets. I'm all right. I'm not a big Jay-Z fan. I know that's kind of, some people think that's heresy, but I'm not the biggest Jay-Z fan in the world. Old Girl Talk was playing. I would be interested in seeing that guy spin a DJ set, but I'm feeling my age, though. I really am. Walking around the streets and just felt like an old man. I felt like a fucking creep. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. I think this is a point in your life, though. I think this is what they say, I guess, midlife crisis. I think there's a point in your life where you just say, fuck it. Who cares anymore? People, you know? I think at this point, though, I'm still a little too self-conscious. I digress. Oh, college football season upon us. I didn't watch as many games as I would have liked to. But I did get a chance to watch West Virginia, Alabama, and the Blake Sims era in Alabama. They're going to struggle this year. They're just so loaded, though. TJ Yeldon, phenomenal running back. He's going to be a Heisman candidate. West Virginia, though. Yeah, I like Dana Holgorsen, and even all his flaws. But Jesus Christ, you watch these games. They drive down the field, open and drive all the way down, get the ball in the five, and they try to run a fucking fade to a 5'9 receiver. Nothing. It's the best play you got. It's amazing how teams just stall, especially spread offenses, just stall once they get inside the 10, the 5. Can't do anything. They still stay in shotgun. I guess, I do agree with that, though. If you're going to be shotgun, do it all the time. Because I've seen teams that think they're shotgun, they get the ball at the 5, the 4, then they try to go in the center, and the quarterback trips or he fumbles because they're not used to it. But still, these guys practice so much, they're fucking, big-time college football players. You still think they could be able to do that at some point. Of course, they have to do it if they're going to spike the ball, because you can't spike the ball if you're out of shotgun. I found that the hard way a few years back. Got a delay a game penalty on that, which is a dumb rule. But I don't know if I'm going to watch Alabama all year. Lane Kiffin, it's another ESPN/ABC story they love running with. Lane Kiffin, they showed him more than they showed Nick Saban, if that's even possible. And the announcers just look for anything to say. I feel like my old man. My old man doesn't even watch. My old man shuts the sound off on games because he can't listen to the announcers. I don't blame him. I'm getting that way too. Oh, Lane Kiffin showing calm demeanor. The fuck they wanted him to do? Cartwheels in the sidelines? Ugh. There's no way that's going to end well. Alabama's not going to win the national title this year. No way. Not with Sims running the helm. And they're going to blame Lane Kiffin. The guy who fails up, though. Another example. Guy's turned every program he's been to has fallen apart. Now he's calling plays for the biggest college program in the country. Speaking of big college programs, Penn State in the Croke Park Classic in Ireland. First game of the James Franklin era. My boy Ricky Ronnie. My boy Sean Spencer. Last second field goal over Central Florida. Christian Hackenberg, the first quarterback in Penn State history to throw for 400 yards in a game. It's pretty amazing. I like the hack. Got to give it to Franklin, though, even though he's kind of snake oil salesman like all of them are. I love this quote after the game. He said, I don't know what the federal regulations, aviation regulations are, but we're going to have a huge party on the way back. Good for him. Good for Penn State. They're back. Speaking of Penn State, they're saying they're possibly going to reinstate their bowl eligibility next year, which is surprise. Well, I don't think it's that surprising. They changed the culture. Give me a break. I just thought that was a once. To me, the Sandusky thing is just a freak occurrence that can never, ever happen again. Like 9/11. People, oh, another 9/11, oh, another Jerry Sandusky. That would never fucking happen again. It was one of those things that blindsided people. But I digress. Two horrible tragedies. Can't make light of them. I'm not making light of them. Speaking of making light, game day's back. Oklahoma State. Look, classless. A bunch of fans, rich white kids. Appeared. I shouldn't say they're rich, but I'm sure they're fairly well off. Had a big sign saying they're going to send the Seminoles home in a trail of tears. An obvious reference to the trail of tears with the Native American migrations. What the hell are these people thinking? This is classless. Oklahoma State immediately came out and bashed the student body, which they should, especially, you know, in this day and age, they have to do that. Otherwise, they're going to be, you know, all types of protests. Speaking of protests, horrible protest. Iowa. This is great. Peyton Fry in 1979 painted the visiting locker rooms in Iowa pink because it's supposed to be a soothing color. So he didn't want the opposing team to get all riled up. I suppose there's a little bit of feminine innuendo there as well. But a fucking Iowa professor is leading a protest. So they changed the color of the locker room, saying it's a sexist thing to have the locker rooms pink. He's having a protest. I don't even fucking understand what it is. The Million Robot March? The fuck does that even mean? The professor with too much time in his hands. Tenured professor who probably teaches 3 classes a week. Make $150,000. I'm in the wrong business. Shit, I can't make that in 3 years, and I got 38 high school seniors every day, back in the classroom. Game day, Stone Cold Steve Austin showing up on game day, which is always fantastic. Drilling beers. Speaking of Stone Cold, I think Vince is just remiss. Vince McMahon, of course, is remiss not trying to get Stone Cold Hulk Hogan match for WrestleMania. I like to talk wrestling. I could talk wrestling. It's better than, you know, me rambling about my Uber adventures or whatever the hell it is. USC back playing the JV squad of Fresno State. Set a Pac-12 record, which is saying something as far as the number of plays they ran in the game. They ran 105 plays yesterday. You know, when you're competing with a team like Oregon, who used to run plays at a lightning pace. USC, lightning pace with their game. I suspect they'll be back, although they had all types of turmoil already this year. That Josh Shaw thing, I can't get that. Claiming team captain, cornerback Josh Shaw, claimed he sprained both of his ankles trying to save his 7-year-old nephew from drowning. Speaking of drowning, I got a phone call. Is he on? Oh, drop it. Well, anyways, he wasn't. He made up the story. He was. Let me finish my thought on Josh Shaw real quick before I bring my boy, Freddie Fredette, from Lowell on. He was beating up his girlfriend. He jumped from the balcony and sprained both his ankles and made up a story that he was trying to save his 7-year-old nephew. Amazing. You could come up with a better story of that. Maybe say you playing basketball. I'll make it up and say you're trying to save your nephew. Regardless. Speaking of saving, save me, Freddie. Are you on?
Really? You need saving, my friend.
Are you on?
Ooh, a lot of digressing early on. So, no, good to be on. Good to hear about the victory. Sounds like maybe the receiving end on the Stonehill or Wildcat uniform. I don't know.
Oh, 70-0, kid.
Oh, terrible. But, yeah, I want to just get in totally jacked about the upcoming season. But a lot of things, you know, bringing me back to kind of the business end of everything. And up this way, you know, big news here, probably not as big nationally, but trading five-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler Logan Mankins for a fourth-round draft pick and a tight end to be named later, who looked pretty good in the first preseason game with the Patriots. Always business, business, business. And, you know, he was a popular player, and he ended up going elsewhere to Tampa Bay. But, you know, I'll tell you, the spin machine here, I'm almost now starting to buy it. It's like, you know, this guy's overpaid. He's coming, you know, losing a little bit of the little step and some young guys that are cheap money coming in behind him. And, you know, you wonder, is the drop-off worth the business risk? So, you know, you kind of hate to think of it. It's such a primal feeling to watch football, and then you see all the decimal points and all the dollars being pushed through that go through. So, you know, even listening to you talk about the college game, you know, the business and the recruited, the best coaches are the best recruiters. So it's just been on my mind. And what are your thoughts about that, Coach?
Well, I'll be the first to bash Bill Belichick whenever I get a chance. I don't say bash, critique, if you will. I'm 100% for this move, though. I think it's the only move to make. That's a $10.5 million salary cap savings they're going to take next year. You know, they're watching film all the time, obviously. They got guys who can come in, and the drop-off is not going to be significant. You know, you hate to see a team leader like Mankins go, but they can replace him.
Yeah, no, I think it's not the ability standpoint. I think, you know, you were seeing, like, just guards, like, swimming through a lot of guards through the preseason, but more just the timing and, you know, like, the locker room was pseudo-revolt. And you know what? I mean, I think, and just talking with my brother about this the other day, he likes to do that. I think he likes to twist it up. Seymour later, Lawyer Malloy later. You know, I think he doesn't want anybody to feel safe, and I think he likes to let people know that. And then Mallett traded today, so it's being shaken up.
Yeah, but, that move, you know, they basically gave him away. So really, if you think back, they wasted a third-round draft choice. And,
yeah.
You know, if I wanted to go back and look at, you know, I hope that this isn't going to be the same case with Garoppolo. Gut instinct says no, that Garoppolo is going to eventually be the quarterback for him. But I tell you, especially, you know, watching Brady in the preseason, he's got 4 to 5 good years left in him. I think he looks better now than he's looked in the last 5 years.
Well, he does look good. I mean, well, you know why he's got, you know, another year behind some of these receivers and some weapons that hopefully they can stay healthy. He, you know, he started the year off with, you know, dire straits, rookies throwing to and journeymen. So, you know, I'm looking for a bounce back here. I think the Pats probably, I like them to go to the Super Bowl this year if they stay healthy. I think if you had a chance to see any of the preseason games, but the defense is blistering. Oh, my God, that secondary, I'm talking about a 180. There are no openings to throw to. Cam Newton, I thought, looked pretty sharp, and he was having to fit things in the smallest of spaces. So that looks good on that end, I think. And then, I don't know, what are you thinking out of the NFC? San Fran?
No, I think San Fran is primed to have a letdown season.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to go to, you know, to have this, maintain the success that they've maintained. I still think San Fran will be, you know, an 11-10 win team. No, I think, you know, I like Green Bay at this point, to be honest with you. You know, I just think Green Bay is a team. Aaron Rodgers is just, I think he's the best quarterback in football, not named Tom Brady. And improvements on defense. I like Green Bay. Obviously, Seattle's going to be, you know, a factor as well. But let's get back to the Pats, though. I agree. I think this is the best team they've had in 5-6 years. And I'm a huge fan of the fact that they're going more to the 50, which they, you know, they've strayed away from the 50 last few years. And, you know, I think they paid for it. I don't think they ever had the true DNs. You know, I like Chandler Jones, but I don't. You know, I like him as an outside backer. I'm a huge fan of Jamie Collins. Well, huge is a strong word, but I do like Jamie Collins. I like Hightower, you know, Mayo back. Yeah,
I think the defense is going to be the difference. And I think, you know, as long as the offense, boy, you know, you put Tom Brady scoring, what, you give him, what, 26 points a game? You can hold him under that. I mean, I think this team's going to be dynamic. I mean, even think I got it over Denver, too. I don't, you know, Denver, I think, made a lot of good moves. But I think just a year removed, I watched a little bit of Denver, and they look like they're, again, a finely oiled offensive machine. But I just feel like when push comes to shove, it's the kind of offense that, you know, we saw what happened to the Patriots in a couple Super Bowls, too. Too much of these timing, you know, finesse offenses get hit in the mouth by a tough defense. And, you know, I think that's what the Patriots were trying to, you know, emulate a little bit of what happened to Denver in the Super Bowl with these really physical corners. Now, I hope, you know, talking about the business end of it, I hope these rules, you know, what the emphasis really, you know, it was a record-setting year in offense. And, you know, you had a defensive team win the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden there's like a correction in the market and we have to have emphasis on the rule. So I hope it seems to fade back a little bit after the first few preseason weeks were almost unwatchable.
There's no way. They're not that dumb. There's no way they can continue to do what they're doing. They're going to alienate fans. There's no way they can continue to do that. And, you know, they're just trying to set a tone. They said that same thing a few years back against the Patriots.
Definitely. After Peyton Manning laid an egg in Foxborough, Ty Law was jacking up everybody.
And that is the thing, though. You're getting these pocket quarterbacks that sit there and they get in the big games, and you got these defensive ends that just fly, and they, you know, the physical corners and the timing's not there, and you can get yourself in trouble. And you see it, and, you know, I don't know. There's ways to combat it, but just don't do it in the NFL. Hey, my condolences. I'm sure you must be very saddened.
With what?
Well, your boy Michael Sam is now jobless. And you must be upset about that.
I think this guy, I mean, he had a pretty good preseason. I think, you know, the co-defensive MVP, defensive player of the year in the SEC, combine numbers aside, I mean, there's people carrying guys on the roster that, you know, aren't the player this guy is.
I don't know. You know, I like I've said it 100 times before, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. It's not worth it.
Well, it's the risk reward. You know, what are you going to actually, you know, have him in and have the, you know, all that goes with it and the media scrutiny that you get with it. But I mean, I think if, you know, sexual orientation aside, you know, I think he could play on a team. I think he could, you know, come in pass rushing situations. He seems to do that really well. And, you know, could be just as effective as some guys that are at the bottom of other teams' rosters. But you're right. Is it worth bringing them in, you know, for situational spot stuff? Probably doesn't play any special teams that I know of. And but
I would love to see him have his own. I'm sure he's going to be in the media somehow, some way. If he doesn't play, if he ends up getting released, I'm sure someone's going to stick a microphone in front of his face. But I'd love him to have, like, some kind of style fucking segment or something, you know, two snaps up or something like that. You know, I don't know. That's not homophobia. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be funny as hell.
You just like spectacle. But speaking of spectacle, have you tuned in to Fourth and Loud at all in the L.A. area?
Shamefully, no. I haven't.
I had not. I just caught one this weekend. Oh, my God. Speaking of spectacle, and I can't believe you know, Kiss in L.A.
I know, and I've seen him play. I know, you're right, you call me out on that, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, I've been spending my fucking time watching Hard Knocks. Oh, unwatchable. You watch that show?
No, I haven't.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, is it really?
Oh, I hope Atlanta goes freaking 0-16. I usually come out of Hard Knocks, you know, rooting for the team a little bit. Not this team. Matt Ryan's a freaking doofus. Mike Smith is the worst. I want to punch Dimitrioff in the face. Arthur Blank. It's just on and on. And it's just poorly done, too. You know, everything's so sensationalized. And, you know, they're all family men. You know, these guys are fucking, I don't know. I don't want to see it. Don't see it. I have to watch Fourth and Loud, though.
Oh, my God, you have to watch it. I mean, there's, like, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons in on, like, football decisions. It's really.
Really?
Well, I mean, they're in, like, you know, they're the owners, and the episode, I've totally seen this one episode, but they're sitting down, like, they brought in a guy who's, like, on the football end of it, and, you know, he's trying to really push the football product, where they had this opening game. It was like, oh, my God, it was like, I don't know what it was, you know, like a Kiss show, there's flames.
I've seen him play. It's go-go dances in the fucking corners of the end zone.
So they have the coach, though. So they have the coach. And this guy's bullshit. Like, all the players and the coach are actually making comments to the media, like, we can't even play. Like, you know, it's like, a touchdown, there's 7 minutes in between. Then it's like, you know, it's just such of a spectacle. They felt like it was hard. And so the episode I was just catching was like, oh, Gene and Plum were like, well, we got to get these guys on the program. They can't be talking out. This is what, you know, this is what it is about. If they don't want to, then they gotta go. It was like their captain, their best player was, you know, talking about how distracting it was to play. And oh, boy, yeah, something to definitely...
Unfortunately, Gene Simmons just shows himself to be a bigger and bigger asshole every time he fucking opens his mouth. It's too bad. I'm a big Kiss fan, but he just... I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. So you have to check it out and just see if you could coach this team. Like, the coach was just was bullshit. He had enough that first opening game.
So. I don't know if rock and roll and football go hand in hand. I don't know. Did you see they just tossed Bon Jovi out of a bit of his group? Just ixnayed him, threw him out of the group.
Well, was the Bon Jovi was the detractor of that deal, or it's just the Toronto? I think, you know, Buffalo losing the team to Toronto was more the big piece, and if they just kind of equate Bon Jovi with that.
Never going to happen. Never going to move to Toronto. Are you fucking kidding me? They're coming to L.A., kid. L.A. Bills.
No. Yeah, no, but they'll be in London in 4 years.
No way. I mean, if they go to London, they're going to come to L.A. too. They have to.
I would think. It seems like it has to happen.
Too many people here.
Like, how long has been L.A. without a pro football team?
95.
95 is when they went. Oh, jeez.
Both of them went. Rams and Raiders, back-to-back years. Yeah. Or same year, rather. Other than that, well, enjoy your... hey, congratulations, by the way. I just found out not too long ago that you're expecting a second child.
I am.
Well, you're not. Your lovely wife is. But
yes.
Congratulations on that. That's good. Everything's well. I hope you have your strong Labor Day fun. Do anything good?
Yeah, just trying to kick it cool. You know, the real work starts on Tuesday, so we'll...
Enjoy your last Sunday football free. Last Sunday football free. Now freaking back to being sucked on the TV for 12 hours a fucking day on Sundays.
There it is. I look forward to it. All right, Coach, take it easy.
Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you.
Later.
SC, left off. Went pro football. I still want to get back to SC, though, because there's just so much to fucking talk about USC. Not a big Trojan fan, but... Anthony Brown, running back, comes out and calls, had a meeting with Steve Sarkisian, head coach, comes out of the meeting and tweets out that he can't play for Steve Sarkisian because he's a racist. Oh, you can't just throw that term around. I guess Sarkisian was calling him a coward, saying to tell him to get the fuck out of his office. I don't know if that's really racist. You can't be a racist in this day and age and be a recruiter. No way. You'd be just career suicide. Not that that's the reason to not be a racist, but shit. In that particular business, can't do it. Although he said that about Don Sterling, but it's a different thing. Don Sterling never interacted with those guys. I thought it was hilarious that Viv Stiviano, Don Sterling's mistress, if you will, came out and said that she was just, I didn't even know what this term meant. I had to look it up. She was Donald Sterling's beard, which evidently means she was a front to cover up Donald Sterling's homosexuality, which stands to reason. Yeah, I never really paid much attention to the way Donald Sterling talked. I've seen some of those interviews. I could see it. Why would she just come out and say that? His beard. I think it's that's a great term. One I never knew. Learn something every day by watching ESPN. Not that much, though. If he's not named Johnny Manziel, LeBron James, or Michael Sam. Michael Sam released. 6th-round draft choice released. Top news at ESPN. And the thing about ESPN that freaking drives me nuts, amongst other things, is just the sanctimony. And the on-air talent love to say, oh, we're just reporting this stuff. They're creating these fucking stories. Everyone watches ESPN. Everything trickles down from ESPN. Who are we fooling? Unfortunately, necessary evil. They're the one that create all this shit. They won't let this stuff die. Like Roger Goodell may have got one right, actually, with his new domestic abuse. And that's his quote, too. I didn't get it right. Oh, come on. Well, you can change it. Season just, you know, he's the be-all, end-all. They could have changed a suspension. You know, it's not over yet. Shit, the season hasn't even started. He could turn around and suspend him. I guess you can't institute rules after the fact. First domestic abuse charge will be a 6-game ban. Although I think you have to be found guilty or plead to it. I don't think it'd just be a charge. You have to be found guilty or plead to it. 6-game ban. Second time, a lifetime ban. Fucking A, a lifetime ban. There's just no way. How many guys in the history of the league have been twice in domestic abuse? Ah, there's probably, who am I fucking fooling? There's probably dozens of them. Talk about a story, the first guy that gets. Now, I don't understand this. Is it retroactive as well? If you already have one domestic abuse conviction or plea, does the second, you get a clean slate here? So you'd be talking a possible third before you get a lifetime ban? Put it in. Roger Goodell, it is the law. Bo Jackson suing the business partner. Bo Jackson, fascinating fella. Seems like him and Herschel Walker, same type of guy, just into weird things. I know this, Bo Jackson evidently is an entrepreneur selling Salisbury steaks and chicken cordon bleu. But he has an Native American partner by the name of Valerie Little Chief, which is a great name, by the way. I changed my last name to Little Chief. But she was embezzling the money. She was taking all the profits. Check this out. They made $26 million in sales of his fucking chicken cordon bleu and Salisbury steaks. That's a lot of cordon bleu. $26 million in sales, but they only turned a profit of $115,000. How's that even possible? What kind of overhead costs are there to make chicken cordon bleu, Salisbury steak, cheap meat? $26 million in sales, only pulling out $115,000? Bo Jackson suing Valerie Little Chief. I guess he sued her like 6 times over the course of like 5 years. Love Bo Jackson. Archery, you know, all types of shit. Guitar player. True Renaissance man. Like I said, like Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker's a ballerina, MMA fighter. Claims he has multiple personalities. Although I was reading not too long ago, a lot of people think multiple personality thing is not even real. But I guess it's real if you think you are. If you think you got multiple personalities, I guess you do. Alden Smith suspended for 9 games. 4 for smoking weed, 5 for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. San Fran, though, if they can weather the storm, I think guys like that, shit, I look at his 9 games where he's not going to get injured. You can stay 6-3. Even 5-4, and you get this guy back. That's why these guys hold out of training camp. Good, let them. Don't get hurt. Football coaches overrate that shit. I'm one of them, and we do. It's overrated. If a guy can play, especially at certain positions, and he's not coming in as a fat slob, if he's staying in shape, he can play. It's probably better for him that he doesn't play. Have him sit. A lot of people are calling for RG3 to sit. In favor of Kirk Cousins. Strong arguments being made for that. Although RG3 just had a statue. 24-year-old guy is a statue of himself in front of Baylor Stadium. Scary looking thing. I don't know. I just don't know if RG3 is going to have that long career. He's going to have this Kirk Cousins thing over his shoulder for the next few years. Someone's going to offer something big for Kirk Cousins. Probably end up getting a decent quarterback. Let's go back to crime. Crime's just more fun to talk about. Former Steeler cornerback, Deshaed Towson, current Mississippi State assistant coach, mentioned on a program not too long ago that he had a house that he owned, supposedly he was renting out, where they found 1,500 bricks of heroin. I don't even know what a fucking brick of heroin, but 1,500 or anything's a lot. So he has a lot of fucking heroin. 16 guns and $100,000 in cash. Claims he had no idea. All right, fine. I can see that. You get a bad tenant, maybe, you know, one time. This past week, a condo belonging to Deshaed Towson was found with 30 bricks of heroin. Significantly less, but get you fucked up none the same, I'm sure. and guns and cash, $7,000 cash, second home from Jay Townsend. Claims he didn't know nothing about it. They've had these people fill out some kind of rental application or something. They got a background check. Shit, when I rent places, it seems like they friggin' run a Corey check on you, for Christ's sake, to rent a place. How can you be so fucking... If like the first place gets nabbed, fine. You'd think you would clear out the rest of your properties, or at least maybe, hey, I should check out the rest of my tenants and see if they're selling bricks of heroin. I guess the cops came to the guy's house because a neighbor called the cops on him because they heard a pit bull barking. And then they heard some yelling, and then they heard a loud thud, and they heard the pit bull wincing in pain, so they called the... What is it with thugs and pit bulls? Amazing. Oh, poor Deshae. Like, he's not making... He's probably making $100,000 a year coaching at Mississippi State. Does he really need to be in the heroin game? I watch Drugs, Inc. That shit is real. I don't know why you want to get in there. You got a nice job. Fairly cushy job as well. Well, you need some pressure, but shit, I've coached college football. It is not that hot of a job. It's a pain in the ass, but it's not, you know, not going to work in a coal mine, for fuck's sake. I don't know why you want to risk that shit, especially a D1, big D1 job. Speaking of former jobs, holy cross, I just watched... I've talked shit on Tom Gilmore. I don't care. What the hell? I don't know he listens to the program. I can't believe Tom Gilmore, the head coach of Holy Cross, has been there 12 years. I saw that guy threaten the soccer coach with physical harm his first year there, but he survived the storm. Some people can survive anything. A boneheaded move versus Albany and the Great Danes. Up 13-7, 50 seconds left in field goal range. Another team in shotgun. Try to run an inside zone. Player gets nailed. Helmet comes off. NCAA is different than the NFL. They let the plays go on. Actually, like, this is one rule I think the NFL actually gets right, that a helmet comes off, they probably should blow it dead. If your kid's knocked unconscious, you get trampled. But the NCAA hasn't done it. Return it. Shades of Miracle in the Meadowlands. Returns it for a touchdown. Great Danes of Albany go on to beat the Crusaders of Holy Cross in a boneheaded call by Sir Tom Gilmore. Speaking of bone, every fucking segues, kid, everywhere. Colt Lierla, guy I talked about on the program, former Oregon Duck, tweeted out a few months back how the parents of people at Sandy Hook were just liars because it never happened. It was a conspiracy. Physically assaulted several students on Oregon's campus for no reason. Quit the Oregon program. But the NFL, there's always, because he's a freak athlete, stud athlete. Green Bay Packers went out and signed him. Someone's going to give him a shot. But then they just end up releasing him. But they're paying him through week 8 because they released him through some kind of injury clause. So the guy's probably going to make more money in 8 weeks than I probably make in 8 years going my little fucking school teaching job. The guy's tweeting out things about Sandy Hook parents being liars only because he's 6'4 and 260 and can run like the wind. He'll always give it another shot in the NFL. Jameis Winston getting another shot. The Heisman, there's no effing way Jameis Winston wins the Heisman, especially if he played like he played last night. Although I wasn't watching the TV with the sound on, thank God. Although Musburger probably wasn't even doing the game, because you know the phrase when Winston went on that run at the end of the game, you knew the phrase signature play was going to come up. They love that one. Dial up and signature play. Those are the two go-to comments from every Tom, Dick, and Harry who comments on football games. Winston didn't look good. Florida State's new unis didn't look good. Why would you mess with that? This Oregon effect. You could give a team like SC, they don't mess around with the unis. I don't know what the hell that uniform was. It was like took out the gold. It was like a mustardy yellow helmet. Not good at all. Jameis Winston looked good at all. Oklahoma State, of course, nobody talks about this stuff, had the ball on the 40-yard line at the end of the game, 4th and 3. And like the rest of the cowards of the NCAA coaching legion, punt the ball away. You're playing the number one team in the country. You got a chance to take the lead on a 4th-and-3 and you punt the ball away deep in their own territory, deep in Florida State territory. Amazing how these people keep their jobs and make hundreds of millions, well, not hundreds of millions of dollars, millions of dollars a year being cowards. College attendance is down 7% in the last 4 years. Everyone's in a fit about that. I didn't realize how many teams there are out there that will actually serve beer at stadiums. It's like 17 different teams. I get talked about 21 different teams, rather. None of the quote-unquote big schools, but shit, you know, schools like Minnesota, Colorado State, UNLV, start serving beer. They take you 7% right there. People are sitting on the parking lot. Like I've said a million times before, though, I really don't think people really like watching football as much as they like the fandom of it. You know, you watch all these preseason games and stands are always empty after a little bit. Hank Bauer, former running back and current announcer for the San Diego Chargers, just got in trouble, though. Comment on that very thing. He's commenting in the San Francisco-San Diego game with the play-by-play guy, Josh Lewin, who evidently is a Jewish fella. Hank Bauer cracked a Jew joke on the air and has been suspended for one game or undetermined amount of time. One I never heard before. He said, you know how copper wire got invented? He said Josh and his family members were trying to find a penny or something. I don't know. We're fighting over a penny. I don't know. I even think it's a funny joke. Maybe I probably butchered it. Regardless, he just dropped Jew jokes on the air. What the hell does this guy think he is? Internet radio show? Fuck. So he's done. Bouncing around back to college football. I tell you, I hope this is finally the year that a running back wins the Heisman. It hasn't been a Heisman Trophy. It seems like, well, Mark Ingram, I suppose. Todd Gurley from Georgia. Guy's electric. He's the third year in a row in the season opener. He's averaging 12 yards per carry. He's got to be up there. He's got to be in the Heisman. Marcus Mariota is probably going to win it. Seems to be the odds-on early favorite. Hopefully someone comes out of nowhere this year and wins it. Let's go back to the NFL. Cowboys, how is this not tampering? Adrian Peterson talking to Jerry Jones, tells Jerry Jones straight up, I want to retire a Cowboy. What the fuck? I tell you right now, if I'm the Vikings, I hold him to his word. Put it to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones will give up a first-round draft choice for Adrian Peterson. I can almost guarantee it. At least a second. Fuck, is Minnesota going to go over and win the Super Bowl this year? They're really going to compete for the Super Bowl, regardless if they have Adrian Peterson or not. Fuck them. Send them to the Cowboys. Get something for them while you still can. Strike while the iron's hot with Jerry Jones. Jimmy Johnson calling Jerry Jones an asshole this week. Straight up, he said, well, I read this. There was an interview about the relationship. Jimmy Johnson says, well, it's about what I expected. Jerry came off as a rich asshole. Oh, I love those two going at it. I could watch those. They should have a talk about a reality show. They should have those two announcing each other. Announcing each other. That doesn't even fucking make sense. You know what I mean. Interviewing each other. Brandon Merriweather suspended 2 games for basically just hitting people too hard, I guess. Headhunting a defenseless receiver. Now, I know he has a history of it. It seems conspicuous to me that the guy who handed out the suspension, Troy Vincent, was a former receiver himself. Some of Merriweather's teammates came to his defense saying Troy Vincent's a wide receiver. That's why he suspended him. Merriweather's got to get his act together. Shit, he can't be doing this all the time. You know, these concussion things obviously are no joke. At every level, shit, Wes Welker. Again, I mean, how many times a guy like, I would be surprised if a guy like Wes Welker himself finishes out the year. You know, just too many hits to the head. Is it even worth it at this point for a guy like Wes? He's never won a Super Bowl. Could have. Oh, if he just caught that ball. Oh, well. Super Bowl champion Seahawks fined $300,000. Pete Carroll, $100,000 for excessive contact in a summer practice, and they lose what is this, a day, two double day practices? Was that four practices total? Because they were too physical in the summer? In a summer, I don't get that. I mean, I guess I get it, but part of the new union agreement is they're not going to be hitting in June. Pete Carroll just blatantly defies it. But Pete Carroll's another one of these guys, just everything bounces off him, like Teflon in the mold of Lane Kiffin. Like Teflon Don. Dimitri Peterson, projected starting cornerback for the Jets, disappeared for the Jets for 48 hours, didn't show up for a preseason game, and then called the Jets liars for saying he didn't show up, even though he didn't show up. So they released him. Good. Jets, it seems like the Jets are falling on hard times defensively. In the secondary, they're picking guys up off the scrap heap. Good. Tom's going to light him up for 500 yards, 400 yards. Speaking of 500 yards passing, it was three games of 500 yards passing on Saturday alone in the NCAA. There was eight total last year. Kenny Hill from Texas A&M picking right up where Johnny Football let off. Of course, that's going to lead all the Manziel haters to see. See, it's just a system. It's a system. Yeah, I guess it could be a little merit to that, but still. Gotta be freaking pretty good to throw for 511 yards. It was even the high of the week. Western Kentucky quarterback threw for 569. Of course, is Western Kentucky. Washington State guy threw for 532. This era of airing it out. Still the teams that pound the ball. Still the teams that run the ball win. But these are nice tidbits and stat fillers for week one. North Dakota State. 25 consecutive wins, beat Iowa State pretty handily, too. They were down early, but came back and beat them. Three-time defending champion, football FCS champion, North Dakota State. There's got to be a certain point where they just say, all right, North Dakota State, you got to go Division I or whatever, FBS now, rather. I guess Division I, I get all twisted on the semantics with that. It's just, at a certain point, it's just no fun. They keep winning it every year. It's like high school football out here. It's become basically free market football. Because basically, a kid can go anywhere the hell he wants in California. I'm not sure if it's like that in other states. Basically, a kid can go wherever the hell he wants his freshman year. Picking and choosing. So what happens is, similar to capitalism. Uh-oh, I'm going on a political rant. But similar to capitalism, what you have is you get a bunch of teams, high school teams that are really, really good. And then you get a bunch of shitbird teams that just can't compete, like the team we played the other night. It was awful. Shit, my JV team played their JV team. That JV team that they played against had 16 kids in the team. Three of them got hurt. They're rolling out there with 13 kids. And I'm saying to myself, we beat 68-0 in the JV game as well. I'm saying to myself, shit, who's looking out for these kids? You know, and it's not like I'm some kind of bleeding heart, for Christ's sake. But, you got 13 kids going both ways in 96-degree weather, getting slotted. Their equipment didn't even freaking fit. They talk about helmets popping off. That's about three kids' helmets pop off, which they don't call the play dead in high school football either. Which that's going to probably change, too. My point is, it's no fun. All these teams, you just got a bunch of... You know, I guess the salary cap exists for a reason, I suppose, even though it's borderline communism. But it's the same thing. You want parity. You only got about, a handful of teams that are really good. And the disparity between the good and the bad teams in the same cities out here will blow your freaking mind. You're the same city, and you have one team that's outstanding, and then you have another team that just can barely even line up. The team we played. You know, that's what they... That's what they want. No child left behind. Free choice. Cool school vouchers. Unintended consequences. I don't know. What is this? Fox fucking news program? What? I am sweating like I swear I've lost 8 pounds tonight. It's coming off my fingers type thing. You know? That's all right. I only got a few minutes left. Anyway, what else do we even have to talk about? I'd be remiss if I didn't give a Super Bowl prediction. Shit, it's the last week before the season. I need to at least put my neck out there for something. although speculation isn't necessarily one of my strong points, but I agree with Freddie Fredette. Pats going to Super Bowl. Pats beat the Broncos this year in the AFC Championship. In the NFC, I threw out Green Bay. I like Green Bay. It's a possible team. I think New Orleans is going to have a bounce back year. So forget it. I'm saying New England, Green Bay, a rematch of Super Bowl, what was that? I don't know, 1996. Rematch of that Super Bowl. The Patriots could have won, by the way. A couple blown coverages. They fucking blew it. NFL MVP. I'm going Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what it is. I just think he's going to have a huge season. I know what it is. He's really good. I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to win MVP. Rookie of the year? I don't know. I don't even have a rookie of the year. I think Blake Bortles. I think Blake Bortles is going to end up playing and playing well. How about that for you? Or Calvin Benjamin is another name for you from Carolina. I think he's going to have a big year as well. It's all types. A lot of big names. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of big names, but it's a time of year that cuts Terrell Pryor looking for a job. He'll probably get it hired by Jimmy Tressel at Akron or wherever the hell Jimmy Tressel's at now. I think it is Akron. Some kind of bullshit made-up job that they're going to pay him $150,000 a year to show up to games and wave and sign autographs. Eric Winston cut the... I don't know how that works. NFL Players Association, the union president, released. So I don't know how that works. Does that mean his, you know, Players Association presidency gets revoked? I don't know if he can continue to do that job, hold that office. They're going to rip his badge up. Too bad. Eric Winston seems like one of the good guys in the NFL. He'll probably find a job. Shit, if Richie Incognito is getting looks like he signed by Tampa. Look, Richie Incognito and Logan Mankins on the same line. Jesus Christ, talk about mean people. We bully each other. This type of guys are like spitting each other's mouths. Fucking madmen on the same line. All right, well, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm freaking sweating too much. I only got a couple minutes left anyway. I don't know what's been going on. I've been barely following my, been looking at the Twitter followers. Lost 70 Twitter followers in the last week. What the hell's going on there? Maybe they just weren't real people to begin with. I don't know how that works. I use 70 in 1 week.
Did you make sure to follow whoever follows you?
Is that what it is?
Huh?
That's what it is? They get pissed? They get pissy at you?
I think some people are, they stay on their Twitter so long and they'll go on and follow people and unfollow them if they don't get followed back.
Huh.
Yeah. Just because they want to get those numbers just as much as you do.
I can't be a social media. I don't really care. I really don't care, to be honest, with social media. I do like Twitter for news. You know, things happen. You find out immediately. I don't know. I just feel fucking creepy typing shit in all the time. I retweet. That being said, follow us on Twitter at Hard Yards LA. What else? Facebook, I had it, but I got rid of it. Forget it. I don't even get in a Facebook rant. I don't have enough time, and I'm freaking too hot and sweaty anyways. That's it. I'll be back next week with real football to talk about, real NFL games to talk about. Hopefully, we can go out and get our second win. Next week's marquee games in the college football world as well, and any other criminal element that ends up popping up in the course of a week, because it always seems like something comes up. That's it. I'm the coach. See you next week.